This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Wow, Ida's fallout is rearing its ugly head everywhere, including in New Jersey and in Philadelphia and in New York City. Right now, New Jersey declaring an emergency, Ida flooding, ripping through communities like nobody's business. The subway is virtually impassable. It's impossible to get there because the water is making it an impassable situation where it's just pouring down through the tracks. It's crazy what Ida has done in that 24-hour period from leaving Louisiana and Mississippi. And, oh, yeah, in Louisiana, there still are people who are in the thick of it. Of course they are. It's going to take weeks maybe for some of them to get power back. A million still don't have power. Kate Delaney's my name. Thanks so much for joining us on the show. So just a couple of quick facts for you. Like I said, the New Jersey governor actually declared a state of emergency, Phil Murphy. You look at the subway service being suspended. I can only imagine that it will be. If you're listening to me and you are a bridge and tunnel person, you might check new.mta.info because that will get you up to date on whether or not you can take a subway in. And that's what I love about this show, right? We're in the South, we're in the West, we're on every spot somewhere on the map, including the Northeast. And I know there are people that work weird hours. If you are going in somewhere, maybe you're not going to be going in. It's that bad. I mean, power lines are downed all over the place. In New Jersey, 81,000 plus without power. In New York City, 200,000 and counting without power. Cars look like they're rafts. In some cases, they're creating wakes in Brooklyn, in Queens, in any borough, you name it. Severe weather that ripped up Maryland in Annapolis. They had an incredible tornado form that went right down a main commercial street and ripped it up forwards and backwards. People were shocked at how big the funnel cloud was. And again, this is this incredible storm. And the tornadoes that were spawned in South Jersey, which is just right outside of Philadelphia, and there's video of this all over the place, an incredible funnel cloud just pushed down on one of the suburbs and destroyed like 12 homes, just flattened the homes. I mean, it was that bad. And the video of it, again, was just incredible to watch. People who aren't necessarily used to those kinds of tornadoes, right? I mean, there's Tornado Alley, and all of us that live in Tornado Alley, we know what it can be like, right? Are you ever prepared? But we know what can happen. And I think when you're further up in the east, you're not expecting that, even though they have had some tornadoes in the past, it still isn't something that they're, you know, expecting, let's put it that way. So other things that are going on in the world, and this is a big one, I think, because talking about losing power, what's the power grid like where you are? Do you have a generator? What's your backup situation? I've said this before because I've been in this situation, and I used to be one of those people that said, you know what, fly by the seat of your pants, it's fine, we pay attention to what's going on, and then we can just get out. No, you got to have a go bag. Do you have a go bag to run out the door with? And I think we keep seeing this time and time again from some of these images that we're seeing, whether it's Ida's flooding in the South and in Louisiana where it's hot as blazes and people are starving. And people are sweating it out, and they're coming up with, in some of the cities, as many cooling places as they can. But it just feels like this hurricane devastation gets worse and worse and worse and worse, doesn't it? So power and water could be, you know, it's out. It's bringing the water in. It's out for a while, I would say, in a big swaths of Louisiana. Now, part of New Orleans got a little bit of that electricity restored, and thank goodness, right? People that want to come back, they're being told not to come back. Now it's a couple days out of it. And then you're going to have the same thing in the Northeast with this massive flooding that it wasn't just a threat of flash floods. It was flash floods, and it still is flash floods. So meanwhile, while that was happening here in the U.S., you had the Taliban who showed off at a Kandahar victory parade, kind of showing off the new weapons that they have, and you know, they're celebrating and saying it's going to be a little bit different this time around than it was last time, but not giving any specifics. And in the meanwhile, it's the finger pointing that's going on in the U.S. about the withdrawal from Afghanistan, now that it's officially, anyway, complete. So the White House is going to have to review the chaotic and obviously deadly evacuation that fell into the hands of the Taliban, Kabul, in a week. So that is forcing some people to look at what happened, to look at what happened in the entire operation from start to finish, and what would be the improvements moving forward, because this is typical of what you would do. A national security advisor would be the, you know, Monday morning quarterback. So that would be Jake Sullivan, and seeing what externally happened, what could have happened, you know, and whatnot. If you look at Donald Trump, so the White House is blaming a lot of external factors for the chaos, including President Trump's February 2020 deal with the Taliban and the Afghan security forces. So they're saying that that this was his baby, and then this got punted to Joe Biden. And then the Afghan security forces themselves say that, you know, some of the people around them say that they just refuse to fight for their own country. So because they refuse to fight for their own country, and that it falls quickly. So there's a lot of grumblings about blaming people in the intelligence community and looking at what could have more realistically been done. And I think this has become particularly grim and hard for all of us because of the 13 lives that were lost at the Abbey Gate, when you have 13 service members and 170, by the way, Afghans, that perished at the hands of ISIS-K, then, you know, we're going to have these public hearings on the handling of the withdrawal. And, of course, Republicans, some of them are calling for Biden to resign or do an impeachment situation. You have Mitch McConnell, who's saying, whoa, 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 whoa. No, we're not doing any, there's no impeachment that's happening. That's not happening here on my watch. So there's going to be a lot more finger pointing as to what happened, who are the Americans left behind, what were the breakdowns, all of that. Coming up, what's on tap?
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown, small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
What's on tap? Well, we know the most obvious thing. It's going to be cleanup, cleanup, cleanup in Louisiana, Mississippi, and in big swaths of the Northeast, and what's going to happen with the subway system, because, again, getting just hammered by rain, the tracks, etc., will be, they're going to have to do these inspections. They're going to have to go through the different routes. I think they'll get them up quickly, but there is something behind all of that. So what's the price tag going to be? And what's on tap is name a number, pick a number. I don't even know that we could actually come up with the right number, because I think more areas were devastated than many of us even realized was going to happen. You know, seriously. What's on tap for a Texas school district? Well, no school. COVID killed two teachers in 1 week, and that was enough for them to say, yeah, we can't do this anymore, at least not for now. And this is the Conley Independent School District just north of Waco, Texas. And they've got five suburban schools that will be closed until after Labor Day following the COVID-19 death of a sixth grade social studies teacher. And also a seventh grade social studies teacher at a junior high school there. Both of them are actually at junior high, and they both died of COVID-19. They said they were heartbroken and that this is what they have to do. And it's unclear whether the teachers were vaccinated or not. But that's certainly that's on tap, that they're closed, and that they're going to reopen, but they're still looking into some of the other alternatives, I think, as well. This is also on tap, at least right now. It's not happening. The Supreme Court refuses to block a Texas law banning abortions at 6 weeks. So a divided Supreme Court late on Wednesday, again, wouldn't block one of the nation's most restrictive abortion laws. And there's a unique Texas statute that bans the procedure as early, again, as 6 weeks into pregnancy. So the court didn't act early in the day. The law became effective, and clinics in Texas said they would stop providing abortions. And the court's five most consistent conservatives, Justice Clarence Thomas, Sam Alito, plus all three of President Trump's nominees to the court, said they would let the law stand while the legal battle over it continues. So that's where it stands right now. Some were thinking that they would intervene, but not intervening. Moving from that to now what happens, the Taliban in, and I've been talking about this and had people on the show to talk about this, but the Taliban is now at this point consolidating military and political control in Afghanistan. So what's on tap is what kind of government emerges from this, because it formalizes their transition from what would be an insurgent movement to ruling the country, because there's been 20 years in between with that war that followed the September 11th attacks on the United States. So there are a couple of thoughts as to who could be the senior leaders, but if there's one leader, just one, who is the one among the group of three or four that will certainly be in the inner circle. And the new government faces on tap for them challenges in rebuilding that nation, right? That's been battered by war, an economy in turmoil, hundreds of thousands fleeing their homes and living in poverty. The United Nations is already warning of severe food shortages that could touch off a massive humanitarian crisis. So that could be on their hands too. For sure, looking at at what's on tap in the future, a lot of things have to be unraveled there, I guess is the best way to put that. Also on tap, January 6th, subpoenaing legislators' phone records. What would it reveal? That's what the Democrats want to see happen, and that's what the Republicans say, no way. That's not happening. So is there any evidence to suggest that there were deliberate plans to interrupt the counting of the electoral votes in that on that day? And were there any indications that the small groups were going to escalate the threat as they did at the Capitol? And so some of that is what the Democrats believe would be on the phones. That's what they would find. But because you got to think of the people that spoke with the president that day, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, Jim Jordan, and some others, too. There were a couple of others as well. So multiple Democratic legislators allege that large tour groups have been conducted by colleagues, including Congresswoman Lauren Boebert in the days before the riot, with the sometimes stated implication that this somehow helped in an effort to familiarize people with a building. She, of course, denies the allegation, and this is part of what's on tap. Are they going to get those records or not? It's not looking good at all that they'll consider that a win. Whatever the questions are to be answered about any kind of possible overlaps between anybody in the riot, the legislators, any of that kind of stuff. So the committee is asking for telecommunications companies to preserve phone records involving a number of, as of yet, to be identified legislators. We'll see if that happens or not. That's big to what they're trying to do. And the Republicans are saying, you know, foul, foul, foul. No, no, no. Not gonna happen. Shouldn't happen. That's a good question. Fair or foul? What do you think? Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. Also, while that's happening, there is another Trump Organization executive that has to appear before a New York grand jury because that hasn't gone away. So the Trump Organization's corporate director of security is expected to appear before a grand jury on Thursday in Manhattan. Now, because of the rain, who knows what happens there. But prosecutors are investigating, as you know, the former president's business. And the executive, Matt Calamari Jr., was served a subpoena to testify and appear in court and answer the questions. And he is the son of the company's chief operating officer, a longtime Trump deputy who's under the microscope, too, by prosecutors in the district attorney's office. Interesting. Interesting to see what will happen in this, because under New York state law, Calamari Jr. would be granted transactional immunity, as they call it, on the subjects he testifies about. And the decision to bring him before the grand jury signals that the prosecutors don't plan to indict him. So if you think back to July, the chief financial officer, Alan Weiselberg, with a 15-year alleged tax scheme, supposedly, that's what they, in July, they charged him with that. They're saying that they systematically avoided paying payroll taxes and income taxes on fringe benefits, including rent-free apartments, cars, private school, tuition, you know, all of that. So the district attorney's office in New York is on tap, on stage, on whatever, pressuring some fierce loyal employees of the former presidents to cooperate and be open, they say, with discussions. But raise your hand. I have my special glasses on if you think that's happening. I think not. Thank goodness they're trying to do something about this, but a trail near Yosemite where a family and their dog were found dead has been closed because of unknown hazards. It's the weirdest thing. It was investigated, no foul play. But the Sierra National Forest said it closed the area where they were found as a precaution because they have no idea what's on the Savage Lundy Trail and why that happened. Wow. All right, hang with us. I'll meet you around the bend.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
A federal judge has signaled that he would approve a bankruptcy deal that would settle thousands of lawsuits against OxyContin maker Purdue Pharma. Bankruptcy Judge Robert Drain said Wednesday that he would approve the plan that would dissolve Purdue and shift its assets to a new company not controlled by the former owners, the Sackler family. The plan would also shield the family from future opioid lawsuits. Purdue has been accused of improperly marketing its opioids, contributing to the opioid crisis in the U.S. And the World Health Organization has identified another coronavirus variant of interest. The B1621 variant, known as the Mu variant, was first identified in Colombia in January and has since been seen in 39 countries. The WHO says that Mu has mutations that may evade the protections of the current vaccines. There have only been a few larger outbreaks of Mu, mostly in Colombia and Ecuador. The WHO says that further study of the variant is needed to fully understand its characteristics. You're listening to USA Radio News. At a Wednesday press conference, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Mark Milley, discussed the end of the military involvement in Afghanistan, saying that the mission now turns to a diplomatic one. Former Ambassador to the UN Nikki Haley says that the book on Afghanistan cannot be closed as long as Americans are still there. She tells Fox News that moving to a diplomatic mission is not a comforting alternative.
All they did was talk about how they closed this out. It was like they wanted a pat on the back. It's like they wanted to say that this book was closed. The book is not closed because you have hundreds of thousands of Americans still sitting there in Afghanistan that need to get out. So this book is not closed. And it goes against the moral code of the military, which is you leave no American behind. So Austin and Milley know that. They know that every military veteran, combat veteran like my husband, is still thinking about the Americans that were left behind, still thinking about the Afghan allies that are behind.
This is USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
I gotta tell you, I am bowled over by this man. We had an amazing off-air conversation. His book is called The Scarred Oak. William Walraven joins us, and his experiences of what happened to him as a child near the German border town in Holland, where he grew up, will just raise the hair on the back of your neck. And then what he accomplished when he came to the United States. So, William, thanks so much for coming on to talk about your book.
You're welcome. I'm glad I'm talking to you.
Tell us about what it was like as a child growing up during the war, during German occupation, and, you know, how old were you and what did you see?
Well, it was a very small and peaceful village, and they came unexpectedly over the border on the 10th July, 1940. And right away, naturally, they were in control of everything. And within a year, they had all the razzias where they pushed all the people out of the houses into an open space. And most of the names they had already, but they were Jewish, they pushed them into big trucks. And I mean, not friendly. They really pushed and hit them into trucks and they were gone. And so I'm talking about the war now. And when I was 10 years old, I was across the road for me. There was this small farm, and I was always working there, milking the cows. And one night, it was in November, I think it was 92 or 93, people had to have their windows closed with black paper because the Germans didn't want to let the Americans flowing overhead to see that there was a city, you know, so everything was dark, so all people supposed to go off the street, except like my dad, he was in the coal mines. He had a yellow band around because he had to go at night shift, but all the people had to be inside. And I was a little late, and I walked across. It was only a small, maybe 10 feet, not more, just a small village street. At one time, I remember that I saw this flash, and at the same time, somebody hit me with a sledgehammer against my leg, and it was awfully painful, but then it was numbed at nearly the same time. And when I fell with my hand, I felt the blood coming out of my leg. So I was screaming my heart off, and my dad came running out, and he pulled me inside the house, but they shot twice at him, and they missed him. So.
Ooh, you were shot by the Germans because you broke their rule of not getting off that street by 8 p.m., where you were just going a few feet, not realizing that would happen, showing you the severity of it. Ian, you have many interesting stories about what you saw and what that was like. And one of the stories I think is worth telling, and there's so many people listening in the U.S., is when you and your friend found an American soldier because you were just playing.
Oh, yeah.
What happened there?
Well, we were both kind of enthusiasts about all kinds of stuff, you know, like young minds. And on Wednesday, we had only half day school, and the teacher in the morning, the last hour, would sit in front of the class and read us out of a book. And this time he was reading us about Edmundson, who discovered the South Pole. And we were sitting there, I bet you, with our mouths open. It was really something. And I had a big German Shepherd. And so my dad had already a year ago made me a nice big sled out of electrical pipes. And with some bands and bells, we put the dog in front of the sled, and we were going to discover the South Pole. and we got heavy dressed. The dog, naturally, in the beginning, didn't want to listen because he was jumping around, but we finally got him to listen. When we came in the fields, we know the fields, we played there, but a little bit farther up, about a mile, there was this little hill, and we considered that to be the South Pole. So when we were up, it was windy, it was cold, it was really mean winter day. But that naturally in our mind was the way it was on the South Pole. So we went there, and a little bit, we went about halfway, and then Nico, my friend, said, "What is that laying there?" And we saw something like what's not supposed to be laying there, and we walked over there, and it was an American pilot laying under his parachute. And he was badly injured, actually, his top leg, the bone was taken out, but he was unconscious, and I guess the parachute has saved him from freezing. And so what are we going to do, call the Germans or what? But anyway, we decided that this man came from so far away, we are not going to give him to the Germans. Naturally, it was kind of bravery, but also dumb, because if he were cut, then the whole family would have been in trouble, but we didn't think that far. So I left Nick and the dog there, and I went back myself with the sled to the neighbor, but he wasn't there. My friend, the son, he wasn't there. And so I had this old feed box, was a wooden open box, and with some rope tied it to the sled and pulled it in the field. And that was easier said than done, because we couldn't lift them in. So we pulled the sled over and rolled them in. And naturally he was moaning, but he didn't come through. He was still moaning. And so we finally got that whole thing up, and Nick was pushing and I was pulling. And when we came closer to the street in our village, we came to the shocking conclusion that the whole street had filled up with SS trucks and was full with SS people. So now we thought, oh boy, this was it. We did pull by them. We didn't give up. We pulled by them. We were going to bring him to the convent, because in the convent was the only nun, her name was Teresa, who had Red Cross. We call it Green Cross in that time. And he was the only one who could help him. So we were pulling it up there, but we came to the conclusion that the road up to the convent was too steep. So the soldiers were laughing at us. We had, I forgot to tell you, we had it filled up with beets out of an old beet cellar, what the farmers put in the field during the winter time. And so it filled, so it was very heavy. We couldn't get them up, so what to do? So I finally, like I said, I was young. went to this SS officer, and I naturally live on the German border, so I could speak fluently German. So I asked the German officer to give us a couple of soldiers because we were going to bring beads to the nuns.
Wow.
So, and they did. He smiled and did, and they pushed it to the back of the convent, and I still remember this little nun with rosy cheeks opened the door and started laughing and said, "These beets are not for eating. These are for animals." And I finally was out of breath, and I said, "They're not beets. There's a pilot underneath." And so she really got a heart attack, I think, because she was snow white in her face.
And you rescued him, so which is a lovely story. And I don't want to give everything away in the book. You talk about your life coming to America, and there's so many wonderful things people can discover. We have just a couple of minutes left. What is the scarred oak in a few words? And what do you hope people take away, William, from reading this book?
Oh, well, the scarred oak, make it as short as I can. When I was in my late teens, I had a girlfriend for a couple of years. And my closest friend I ever had, he was only a half year younger than I was, and he lived right beside us. His name was Nico, and we did everything together. And we even went to the coal mines together as electricians. And one day it caved in on me at quite a depth in the coal mine. And before they got me out, it was 4 days. I was in close without lights and water up to my neck. They finally did. I was unconscious. I'd hang myself by my belt.
Wow.
And so they got me out. But a half year later, Nick, we had the same shift because they gave us the same area. Nick got also involved in a cave in right around the corner for me. We were just together 5 minutes before. And when they came there, that cave in also. And I saw his foot sticking out. He was dead in a second. And so, again, about a half year later, my girlfriend, she was a beautiful girl, but she was very jealous. I was a soccer player. Naturally, if we won, I was the hero. And if we lost, you know, then I was the bum. Lucky that we won. So we are sitting on the bar on a Saturday evening, and everybody was buying me drinks. And there were a couple of girls kind of eyeing at me, and Elisa got upset and said, "Let's go home, I have a headache." And so I first didn't believe it, but then I was kind of angry. I thought she was jealous, so I brought her home. And about a couple of hours later, and her brother, we didn't live together, we were only 5-10 minutes by bicycle. He came chasing on, and he told us that they brought her to the hospital. So when I went to the hospital, the father and mother were there already, but the doctor didn't let me in because I was not a close family lit. But then the father and mother came out crying. She had died. She had died from a brain hemorrhage. So all these three things happened to me in time of about a year, and I was completely heartbroken. So one, we lived, like I said, right on the German border. So one Saturday afternoon, I walk into the woods, and there is this fallen tree, and I sit down there, and I'm bawling my head off. I still remember. And somehow, through the pine trees, I see this open spot. And in that spot was this huge oak tree. I must have seen it all my life, but this was different. It was as of the bottom branches, huge branches, opened up and became arms. And so I slowly walked to it, and I put my arms around it. Not around it, I was too big halfway. I was still bawling, but when I look up, I saw all over scars of branches broken off through the ages. And that changed my life completely. Till now, I only saw that I was that oak tree, and whatever happened to me were only branches breaking off.
Ah, so that's the scarred oak. That's the lesson in that. And again, we don't want to give it all away. We're out of time because people will be able to find that deeper meaning. But the scarred oak, William Walraven, thanks so much for coming on. Get it on Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Thank you very much.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they share with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
The end of the show. It's a wrap. Some of the top headlines, the things that we're buzzing about in our conversations in my backyard and your backyard. Sadly, a suspect at least was picked up in this fatal shooting of a student at North Carolina High School. Another one. Also, the latest on COVID. Afghanistan, the Taliban continuing to celebrate. And Ida, what's happening with Ida in the Northeast. But let's talk about the fatal shooting that we mentioned earlier. One student fatally wounded Wednesday in a shooting at a high school in Winston-Salem. The shooting happened at Mount Tabor High School on the city's northwest side. Police officers and the county's sheriff's deputies were sent immediately when this happened after noon. It was slightly after noon. And what they knew was that one student was located with a gunshot wound, and they tried life-saving measures. The injured student was transported to Wake Forest University Baptist Medical Center, giving you some deeper details on this, and then he died of his injuries. And you could see it really affected the sheriff's department. You could see people that had tears in their eyes when they were talking about this. This suspect is a fellow student, and he was taken into custody without incident. No details about the suspect, a possible motive, because that's always the big question mark flying around, or what might have led up to the incident. So the school was on lockdown. This is familiar with us, right, for all of us, when we hear about this after the shooting. And many of the high schools in the area were also on lockdown because they did that for an abundance of caution reasons and not knowing what had happened. And after the shooting was reported,
there were lots of cars that were seen parked along both sides of the street near the school, and a student at the school said, I heard on one of the TV things I saw, that the school went into lockdown after announcement over the intercom, and then the police came in 10 minutes later and you know, were yelling and screaming, put your hands up. And so, you know, the good news is the fast response. There's no silver lining in this. It is horrific. We're sick of it. It's awful what's happened to families and what happens in these situations. Governor Roy Cooper said that he had been briefed, and he said we got to work to ensure the safety of students, I mean, and educators. They quickly apprehended the shooter and kept guns off the school grounds. So that was the good part, as he said. Mount Tabor High School, for a little bit of background, 14,000 students at the beginning of this 2019-2020 school year. That's the numbers that they have available, because, of course, we've all been dealing with COVID and who's in and who's out. Some of that is maybe a little bit different, but a small, intimate sort of high school there in Winston-Salem, rather, and a lot of shock over that. The great news is the fast response. The sad news is someone has died. What is the reason why that happened? And I agree with the governor. I mean, this, you got to keep kids safe. You got to keep educators safe. No doubt about it. The remnants of Ida, as we talked about on this show, are drenching parts of the North Mid-Atlantic, and they're threatening lots of areas with dangerous flash floods, tornadoes, and tornado watches. Some of the areas of the greatest concern include Northern Virginia, Maryland, Pennsylvania, Eastern, West Virginia. You know, when you're getting, and they're getting this 2 to 3 inches, and then you keep getting more, I mean, do the math. It's what we said ahead of time. If you start getting that rain and start getting the flash floods, and it just becomes, you know, disastrous. And so what does it mean? So, for example, I saw a picture. Imagine this. You've got utility workers that are crawling all over the place. There was a tornado on West Street in Annapolis, Maryland. Annapolis is a very cool little town by the water, where you have the Naval Academy, but a tornado touched down in a commercial spot on Wednesday afternoon. So no injuries reported, but some private homes were damaged. There was a gas leak. It was just a mangled wreck of poles. It was a bad tornado. And this is part of the Ida thing. And this was part of what the concern was, again, heading into the path of Ida, that you get these tornadoes. And in a couple areas, people were slammed with tornadoes. There were 41 people that were rescued from a school bus trapped in floodwaters, and that was in Shaler Township in Pennsylvania. You know, this is the kind of things that happen. There was a flash flood emergency not too far from where I grew up, from Montgomery County, north of Philadelphia, and flash flooding really hit on Wednesday night because of the amounts of rain. And really a lot of this beast hit exactly in Philly and South Jersey, and they had tornado watches in parts of southeast Pennsylvania. An extremely dangerous storm. I mean, these governors realize that. It's exactly what Governor Tom Wolf said, that this is a dangerous storm. It's impacting the entire state, and we continue to monitor the conditions. Please stay home if you're able to stay home, because getting on those roads, that's when the threat gets even worse. But you had a tornado watch that was there in Pennsylvania, Delaware, and New Jersey until 10 o'clock at night. There's also a tornado watch for people listening in Connecticut, in northern New Jersey, southern New York, and Connecticut. And it even included, you know, New York City. And some of that is still, it's still out there as it's passing through. So, wow. You know, the emergency crews are ready, of course, but the worst part of this is a lot of this happens at night when it's dark, and the response at night is so much tougher. I mean, just so much tougher. All right, we've been talking a lot, obviously, about Afghanistan, heavy hearts with those that died, and not being happy with the way things ultimately went down in the withdrawal. I was somebody who totally supported withdrawal a long time ago, thinking that this is the quicksand of the Middle East. These this Afghanistan military is not going to be able to hold. And of course they didn't hold, but I was not a fan of the way the strategy went down. Not putting any blame on the military, putting blame on a higher level and how this was executed. And just again, not being caught sort of off guard, thinking that this was going to be, I don't want to say easy, but it was going to be different than what happened. Oh, in a week, we never thought it would fall in a week. But you could see that there were problems with the military, right? So the majority of Afghans who worked for the U.S. and applied for visas were most likely left behind, according to the State Department. They don't have an official count of the applicants and family members who didn't make it onto the evac flights. But just the word is, you know, there are a lot that were left. I mean, there were at least 20,000 of those that applied in the pipeline prior to withdrawal. And the specific amount of how many of the 123,000 people evacuated from Afghanistan fall into that category is unknown. And, of course, it's unpredictable now looking at the threats from ISIS-K. You know, there's viral communications that led to a huge amount of Afghans having identification meant for a priority group and mischaracterized by other groups that they were trying to get to the airport. So there's all kinds of crazy that's unfolding in what was a chaotic situation. And, you know, unfortunately, you have General Frank, not unfortunately, because I like what he's saying, you have General Frank McKenzie, the head of U.S. Central Command, describing the Taliban as pragmatic and businesslike, and saying that they, you know, they're focused on ensuring that we would be able to depart on schedule that our president had set, and we would not be lingering or providing reasons why we needed to stay longer than August 31st. So, again, this weighs so heavy on so many of us. This is the kind of conversations I'm having. You may be having these same kinds of conversations, especially when we see or hear stories like 27 Sacramento students might be stuck in Afghanistan. And in the meantime, the Taliban is showing off their captured weapons at Kandahar in a victory parade, because they're going to whoop it up for a while, that say we have victory over the U.S. And so that's not going to stop anytime soon. I just feel like I'm hitting you with so much negative news. I mean, just one thing after another, as we wrap this up. And, you know, we know there are places to go that we need to laugh, we need to let go, we need, you know, all that stuff. And I always encourage you to do that. We're going to bring back the tell a joke segment here once a week. So if you have a good joke, start thinking about it and send it to me. I'm the worst joke teller. You know, a horse walks into the bar and the bartender says, "Why the long face?" But I'm bump. Seriously, my material's weak. You got to help me. So we're going to do this once a week. And if you can really make me laugh, I'm going to send you a truckload of my books. Isn't that exciting? I knew you'd love it. And send those jokes to Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. Make it count, everybody.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Pouty Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars shared with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.